line 27 under duties, I've read this three times now, and it only talks about the Senate, the litigation council for the Senate, and the president of the Senate appointing them and telling them what it is to do. Where is it where it addresses the House? I just have
right after it, on line 2, page 2.
Oh, I see.
See, it follows right on 2.
All right, thank you.
And what it does is establish this, because I can show you by, and I think it's important if I were to read it, but I certainly don't want to bore you, because it happens to be my bill, and I don't want to feel what you guys say and listen to me.
Thank you.
So, let me show you something else. It would take, there is a fiscal note on it, and that fiscal note runs around $300,000.
How much?
$300,000. And that the fiscal note is there. And that's total cost for both houses and the other body. However, if you will look in your February 2nd, there's an analysis by research. And I do have some information on that for you. You see, traditionally, the legislature has relied on the Attorney General's office or private counsel when it needs legal assistance. And that's where some of the catches are. There's several reasons why the best interest of the legislature is not being met with these two options. You might remember I had said just a few words about this on the floor regarding the Attorney General this morning. Although no conflict of interest is involved, serious problems also arise when the legislature relies on private attorneys or law firms to represent its interests. First, the use of private counsel is very expensive. That's so far gone to the court. Exact figure is $487,660. Over $500,000 thus far. I've included some of the cost figures in the backup material for recent suits involving the legislatures. You can see the retention of private attorney is a very expensive proposition. In 83, we paid almost $500,000 for attorneys that represented the legislature. According to the fiscal note, the cost of establishing our own legal office would be $299,996 in FY85, a saving of nearly $200,000. Secondly, the retention of different private counsel to handle different cases provides for little, if any, consistency among the legal professions and approaches taken in different cases. Again, this is most important, too. A private attorney will only be intimately knowledgeable about the case he or she is handling, and not with the full range of the litigation involving the legislature. And also, individual attorneys are likely to have little perspective or interest in how long the range interest of the legislature may be affected by any given legislation. They will not have the inclination or the ability to establish contacts with the broad spectrum of legislative views which may exist in various issues. They will have no ongoing relationship with the legislature. That's one of the problems we have now. This would afford ongoing, they'd be up to date on everything that we did. Some of the benefits were that litigation office of the legislature will make available to us advice on how to avoid or anticipate litigation and continuous monitoring of those interests in the cases where we have not been a party, as in the case of Best versus the State of Alaska, in which the longevity bonus residency requirement has been challenged. The legislature in this case filed a friend of the court brief. It still affects us, and you'd have to stay on top of that in order to understand it. There's vitality to the constitutional doctrine of separation of powers, which is one of the main reasons. Dependence of the legislature as a co-equal branch of government will be enhanced if the legislature is represented in the courts by a full-time professional legal staff under its own control, whose primary loyalty is to defend the constitutional prerogatives of the legislature. Creation of an office will not and should not encourage any party, including the legislature, to resort to the courts to resolve issues of legislative power, or will it impose any additional burdens on the court. Every type of legal proceeding in which the office may be authorized to participate is already pending before the courts. So the legislature must be prepared to defend itself as an institution when it's challenged in the court of law as a co-equal branch of government. The legislature must be necessarily prepared to use the courts as a sword as well as a shield when necessary. Legislatures must bring actions as well as defend those actions. Those are some of the reasoning and the reasons behind the particular bill to have. And now that we've had this bill on the floor this morning, I don't know whether it's it should negate that or make it even more apparent. It may have some reaching effects that one way or the other. I don't know. Mr. Miller would.
Well, Mr. Chairman, first of all, I support the concept of the bill. I think it's good stuff. Sort of thing we've talked about for years, but this is the first time, at least in the last 3 or 4 years, that we've had actual legislation in court. I want to say, however, I don't think it will quite accomplish everything you want to accomplish. For instance, you talk about what we're already spending for private counsel. I think we'll continue to spend a great deal of that, just as the Attorney General, for instance, when he brings a case, the Attorney General still has to hire private counsel to get the job done. And I think this office will also have to hire private counsel. So everything we're spending on private counsel now will not be saved by this. On the other hand, that's not necessarily a reason to vote against the bill. In fact, as I say, I support the concept. I think it's good to have one lawyer or counsel to the legislature coordinating, if nothing else, coordinating the work of various other private counsels with the workload of maybe incumbent to defend. There's two or three things that I'd like to suggest that might be incorporated in amendments. Number one, in the debate on the Attorney General's bill this morning, it was repeatedly said, and I think with some justification, that we are too dependent on Attorney General opinions. As a matter of fact, that's not even really quite true, because we get legislative counsel opinions from Mr. Barrier's office, and I think we've gotten excellent opinions over the years. For some reason or other, the legislative counsel director's office doesn't have the sex appeal to these does. Maybe this would. So I think we ought to try to build in somehow that this person, in cooperation with the director of the director of legal services, one of his duties would be to issue opinions comparable to the Attorney General's opinions in the administration. I don't think the opinions are necessarily improved, but I think they've already been good. But maybe by centralizing on one individual, instead of just saying an opinion from the legislative council, from the legislative affairs office, it doesn't seem to engender the support that it does when the AG's opinion comes down. So I think it would be good to have that. The other thing I'd like to see in here, and I don't mean to get into a partisan squabble here, but I've got to be real blunt about it. I would not like to see this guy, for instance, the person we're talking about here, the director of the office for the House, be the fellow that the coalition, for instance, hired to fight the governor on the confirmation hearing. So without that coming to the floor of the House for a decision, it's a conscious decision of the entire House, 21 votes, of course, the coalition in this case would have had. That's one thing. Those of us that are opposed to it can be on record voting against it, and those that are for it can be on record voting against it. I'm not sure how to work that, but you probably don't want every issue that this person handles to have to come to the floor of the House. Or maybe you do. Actually, it probably wouldn't be a bad idea. But in any case, right now, it's not clear that the Speaker, for instance, just couldn't say to that person, Mr. Director of the House Litigation Council, you will go down and file a case against the governor. And the rest of us that may not share that opinion would have no opportunity to voice or register our opinion. So, as I say, having said all that I see problems with the bill, I say again, I think this is basically a good idea. I think we've needed it for a long time. And I would like to see us establish something like this. So that we would have an office with the same status and sex appeal that the AG's office, that the administration has in the office of the Attorney General.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Chairman, for me, that's kind of the problem that I see with it, is the fact that it just expands the Attorney General's office. You'll have an Attorney General's office basically of the legislature. And you have the Attorney General's office of the administrative branch, the executive branch. And I could always see that where coming down the pike in the future, if you had something like this, that always the majority, regardless of who it may be, in any legislature, is going to hire who they want. And that person is going to be hired, and he's going to be very similar to exactly what the Attorney General is today. He's going to rule in favor of the way the majority wants to go. And his opinions and everything else that come out are going to be slanted as such, because his sole contract and his ability to keep functioning and to retain his job is going to be dependent upon him doing everything he possibly can for the majority. And like I say, regardless of who that may be. So I see it nothing more than an expansion myself, to be honestly, than expansion of the bureaucracy. I do agree that you need attorneys and everything else. I do agree that you get some relatively good opinions out of the office over here. However, I just have a problem. I just don't think that we need two Attorney General's office. I think that if we get one elected Attorney General in the state of Alaska, that our interests, both legislatively, the legislative and executive branches, and the people of the state of Alaska, their integrities are going to be protected by the elected Attorney General. And
thank you. Mr. Cottery?
Yes. It's my understanding the purpose of this bill is to establish the office for counsel, but also for to represent the legislature. Does that legislature mean individual legislators, or does it mean the legislature, majority of the legislature? Certainly the opinion, as I understand, the Attorney General now gives an opinion. That's law till it's challenged. That's concluded until you, for all practical purposes, that his opinion stands until it's proven otherwise. Where you could get your attorney give an opinion doesn't mean anything more than just that. So
you mean either house.
Yes. So I was just, that's more of a comment than a question. But it's my question that this counselor that we're looking for the House or for the Senate could defend its members individually or as a group. But that's where I'm at, I suppose.
Well, this would have to be probably on the consent, the way I read it, and Mr. Miller reads it. Perform other appropriate duties as assigned by the Speaker. The office shall jointly represent permanent interim committees, joint committees, agencies of permanent committees, and staff before courts and other tribunals as directed by the Council. Now, I would say it would be the discretion of the Speaker, then. That's the way the bill is written.
That's what I said, and it's a situation that's not going to be different than what we do now. It's just going to save some money. To have pretty rough fees that's being charged, or probably if we had our own, that we wouldn't be faced with high fees. It's a matter of economics.
Mr. Larson.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have three concerns, and only the third one has any substance. First of all, if we're going to create two more jobs for attorneys in Alaska, are we going to have to increase our budget so that we can fund two more wiki programs under the Department of Education? Second, of course, I think the cost analysis here, a legal secretary, I don't know whether you can legal secretary for the price of student disability. But third, I think I share with Representative Schilt. And I guess my analogy would be quite a lot like any municipality, whether it be Anchorage or the Met or anywhere else. Once they hire an attorney, that attorney becomes a facilitator, and as the various cases come up, that individual then needs to hire other attorneys who are experts within the various fields. So I don't think this budget would meet the needs of what we're trying to accomplish under this bill, because it would be impossible to get an attorney for the House and an attorney for the Senate who would be an expert in all of the fields of question or concerns that would be coming forth. So we still have to hire outside attorneys to assist them in his work. And for that reason, I really question the need for the bill, because if we're going to have to hire experts, why don't we do that directly instead of hiring the facilitator to hire the expert for us?
Mr. Chairman, I have a real problem with that bill, and I'm not real sure why, except that I did serve on another elected body that had our own attorney that we hired as a group of people. And this attorney advised our entire body, and we didn't go to court unless we voted on it. I guess my concern with this bill is one that I see this legislature leaning more and more toward. It happened at the time of the coup, where we set up a hierarchy, if you will, that the leadership blows the horn. And other legislators that happen to be in the minority, or minority of the minority, are not treated the same. And so what we set up at that time is we took the funds away from the Legislative Council, where people from both bodies had to decide how money that belongs to the Alaskan public is to be spent. And we've actually, for a reason that appeared valid to the people at the time, started allowing funds that are called leadership funds go directly under the complete control of people that don't have to agree on how that money gets spent. The separate leadership, if you will, or leader, again, president and speaker. Now, if it weren't for that happening, you couldn't have had the House suing the Senate with public funds or whatever. And I see this bill taking that a step further then. Now we will have separate counsel for both the Senate and the House, and this bill does not provide that the arguments for and against going to court or for and against who that counsel will be being made on the House floor, being made public. You're allowing the President and the Speaker to decide what you go to court on, who's hired to go. And I guess it's my concern that we are getting away from the original intent, the way that our government was set up. And we are starting to make it easier and easier for one person or one group of people to decide how public funds are spent and where. I mean, I could foresee if I were a minority member, I have to go before the Speaker in the case and say, geez, so-and-so is giving me a real bad time, and I need the council. I need our legislative council. And you know, maybe the speaker in this case, 10 years down the line, would say, I kind of enjoyed that time you've given me, so I'm not going to authorize the council in this case. I mean, I can just see it. And yet, I suppose I would still have the option to go hire my own counsel, but I could be perceived maybe publicly as, again, it doesn't stand in good stead to, number one, use public funds for a council unless the project or the complaint is worthy, and you have that whole trip. So if in fact you really believe that, number one, the legislature needs legal counsel to advise it, and whether or not you want to make legal counsel available for the legislature to go to court, I can see almost as two separate questions. And then if the latter is true, it should be made available to every legislator, regardless of whether he's part of the majority or the minority. Or if it's not made available, like the committee process, at least who decides when and where is public, so that at least you can state your arguments and Representative Miller should get up and say, no, I'm opposed to suing the government, and at least be on record, rather than his attorney doing it and him having no say about it. I mean, there are some governments that actually have a minority member on the committee that would police something like this. It would be the minority member And that is supposed to give the balance to the kind of government that you have. We seem to be leaning away from that, and even further away by actually putting that power in one person's hands. And that's my concern.
Mr. Carter?
Yes, I'd like to respond and perhaps ask Representative Miller for his knowledge of it. It's my understanding, Representative Locker talked about leadership funds, and the reason for that is my understanding the reason for that leadership fund to be set up, it wasn't necessarily the leadership that had pulled for it. It was perhaps for some balance of control from the way the legislative council, and we had somebody that was abusing it, I think, by contracts and things of that time that were being handed out. And is my correction in that analysis that it was the, reason how this got started, leadership has got labeled pledge funds, but I don't believe that I don't know how would be a better way to do it.
Mr. Chairman, the core political fact, I mean, at the time of the coup, Mr. Malone, the Democrat, was a minority Democrat, was chairman of the council. And the coup happened because of the way the statute controlling the council was set up. It was impossible for the coalition of the coup, to remove him, or for that matter, me and the other Democrats from the council. Obviously, the majority coalition did not want us controlling their funds for this and other purposes, so they simply put the funds over in the House leadership, and that's basically the reason. I mean, it was a political decision. I'm not necessarily casting that as a bad political decision. I mean, I just might have done it, but that's, we're not here to decide whether it's good or bad. But it was just simply a matter of expediency at that time. I think it's unfortunate that not only is it that happened, but it's also continued to magnify. And now that the leadership funds are a huge amount, a couple million dollars. There's always been leadership funds, but previous to that, the leadership funds were very small amounts. Probably never more than $100,000, primarily to cover members' travel, both minority and majority members. I think that was in the travel request. I remember one year, Mr. Malone went through his, when he was speaker, went through his by about April, and then went through theirs by, it's about the same period of time. So that gives you some idea of the non-magnitude of the amount that was in the leadership funds at that time. So the leadership fund is a fact of life now. I would like to see us go back to the way it was and have the council have a lot tighter rein on those funds. I'd like to see the council, which is made up not only of members of both parties, but of both houses, have a say on a tremendous amount of this stuff. And case can be made when we come up to the operating budget, this is a good time to do that. I think the members of the coalition would say, we were justified in this time, and now that need is no longer there, so let's go back to the old way. So maybe it can be solved on an ample basis. I think it probably did more than answer the question. Just a little background.
Any other questions?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Chairman,
I don't know what I could do to change this around, do it more or anything less. There's only one intent on it.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know. Not to get us out of any work, but I'm not sure why this bill is here. I think probably should have been on the judiciary and finance. So I have no objection. You can pass that on.
I reckon think that's where it has. Why is it doing way? Why is it here?
I have no idea.
I guess. Okay. I'd like to move the bill to the judiciary. Is there any objection to having the bill moved to judiciary, committee into judiciary with an individual recommendation? Hearing none, so ordered. All right. We're just going to move it to judiciary. If if you will, and with your own individual recommendation on it. We've held one bill. We've held the video machine lottery bill, and we will sign off on this one and get it out of here.
Final meeting, are you out on a week,
Yes, we are adjourned. There's nothing further.